Hello and a warm welcome to Mark Langdon's Bets Club, your one-stop shop for football betting insight. It's called Mark Langdon's Bets Club, but we're without Mark Langdon this week. He's taking a well-deserved break, but a fantastic substitute appearance this week from James Milton. He'll be guiding you through all of the Premier League action. We'll have Dan Childs on the show later on to take you through all of the EFL goodness again. James, great to have you on the show. It's always a pleasure to speak to you. And I know you're an Arsenal fan, so we'll get onto that shortly. I see you're smiling. But just how good is it to have Premier League football back?
It is. It is good. I mean, the one disappointment is the continued transfer saga. It just makes for a messy start to the season, doesn't it? I think particularly from a betting perspective. I had a speculative bet on Chelsea to finish bottom half again at a big price, and now they've suddenly transformed their squad. So I'm slightly given up on that bet after one game of the season. But no, it's great to be back.
It is difficult, isn't it? I mean, we were speaking about it with Mark last week about how you approach particularly anti-post betting now, because you are going into campaigns not knowing how squads are going to shape up. I guess let's have a chat about a couple of the big ones that have happened since last week. We obviously had Harry Kane go over to Germany to apply his trade at Bayern Munich. Caicedo, that looks like it's coming to a conclusion, and also Lavia as well. So you've got, you know, teams at the upper end of the Premier League really moving and shaking. I guess what are the standout ones for you?
That's it. I mean, the Caicedo and the Lavia ones have huge implications, don't they? Because it was a kind of head-to-head between Chelsea and Liverpool for the pair of them. And it looks like Chelsea are going to get both of them. So that's really interesting. Obviously, you know, both of those clubs, as we saw last weekend, that needed to bulk up their midfield. And I think Chelsea have got a couple of fantastic young players with those two, you know, as they should do, given the prices that reportedly are going to be paid for them.
Huge sums of money. Yeah. So yeah, Chelsea strengthening. How about Spurs? Because obviously, you know, lost Harry Kane now, you know, Richarlison could be the main man there. What's going on at White Hart Lane?
I mean, yeah, you know, I think it shouldn't be a huge shock to Tottenham that Kane has gone. I just feel, again, it's a deal that needed to have been done earlier in the summer, kind of like with West Ham. And, you know, they kind of dug their heels in a bit over Declan Rice, which, you know, they've got every right to do. But at some stage, you have to realise that the star player wants to go, and you need to give yourself the best chance of rebuilding. You know, West Ham, for example, still kind of struggling to reinvest their Declan Rice money. It sounds like the Harry Maguire deal's fallen through there. And yeah, for Spurs as well, you know, Kane leaves and suddenly the season started. And yeah, you're rebuilding in a key area. Having said that, you know, kind of on paper, Tottenham, you know, you've got Brazil's starting striker from the World Cup. You've got Son, who shared the golden boot a couple of seasons ago. You've got James Maddison coming in. I mean, I think the way they're going to play under Postecoglou is they are going to score goals, but obviously Kane is irreplaceable, as I think the manager mentioned.
Absolutely. We've had one game week, not too many big shocks. I mean, Manchester City winning comfortably on opening night. You had a frantic game between Chelsea and Liverpool as well. Who really stood out to you in that opening week and maybe, you know, caught your eye?
I'm going to go a bit left field for you here, Jack. Early on, actually Everton, who lost at home to Fulham, which, you know, doesn't look a great start on paper. Yeah, saved themselves on the final day of last season. They really have been kind of flirting with relegation for some time, and you know, they're right up there in the relegation betting. But I thought it was a really promising opening performance from them. They were very unlucky to lose, had 9 shots on target, hit the post, had a goal disallowed. And I feel like I've been saying this for much of my adult life, but if Dominic Calvert-Lewin can stay fit, then they might not be as bad as me and a lot of other people expected them to be.
Another side who I think a lot of people fancied to go down this season were Wolves. And I mean, how they didn't come out with anything against Manchester United, I think we'll never know. I mean, we'll get on to every individual game later and we'll discuss this more at length later on in the show. But a quick word on that VAR decision late on, Onana clashing with one of the Wolves players. I mean, it looked a clear penalty. It went to VAR. It wasn't. The refereeing kind of governing body have since apologised for the move. I mean, we can't be having these errors with a video assistant in play, can we?
No, I mean, you know, the whole way that VAR was sold to us was that, you know, it would eliminate clear errors and you know, there would be nothing for people like us to debate, because all the decisions that should have been made correctly would be, or you know, either by the on-field referee or rectified. But, you know, football is a game of grey areas, isn't it? And I think in this incident, the fact that the apology was made to Gary O'Neill very, very, very soon after the game tells you that they realised it was a bad error. I mean, it was an incredibly reckless piece of goalkeeping. I think Onana described it as two big men coming together, which pretty much sums up the first sort of 5 years of the Premier League in the early 90s with kind of Wimbledon and teams like that. But no, I mean, I think United will know they've got away with one there.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, let's get into the big match this week. Manchester United and Spurs. We'll be discussing that now. Yeah, Spurs against Manchester United. This one's Saturday, 5:30, 19-10 Spurs, 13-5 the draw, 11-8 Manchester United. United with 3 points on opening weekend. James, Spurs drawing their opening fixture. I mean, we've kind of discussed both of the teams already, but going up against each other, who do you think will feel more confident at this stage?
I don't think either of them should be, really. And I certainly, as a punter looking at this game, I don't feel particularly confident in the match betting. I think it is going to be really interesting. You know, we saw what Postecoglou did at Celtic, and you know, he was so committed to this gung ho style of football. And then you look at the kind of personnel Spurs have in defence and in midfield, and you think, I think early doors, as they get used to this style of football, there are going to be some high-scoring games. We saw that at Brentford last weekend. It was 2-2, and actually Tottenham, you know, second half created plenty of chances, you know, even without Kane. Impressive start for Madison, who's kind of like a walking player prop bet, isn't he? You get assists and shots and cards and actually plenty of goals as well. I mean, he scored 30 league goals in his last three seasons at Leicester and had a few injuries there as well. So, you know, that's a good return for an attacking midfielder. I think over 2.5 goals is a solid bet here. Having mentioned Tottenham, you know, I'm expecting them to be involved in some high-scoring games. We saw United, you know, lacking a bit of bite against Wolves. Obviously losing Martinez as well kind of unsettled the defence. But I think... I think they're going to be dragged into a more open game, whether they like it or not here. And so over 2.5 goals. You know, United have still got some fantastic attacking talent. I think Rasmus Højlund probably not going to be risked just yet. He's obviously arrived with a back injury, I think. But, you know, Rashford and Fernandes, and interesting to see again how they accommodate kind of Mason Mount and Fernandes and get the best out of that midfield.
Do you think it's just a matter of time for United? Because, you know, you say there that the quality they've got in attack, I thought they looked slightly, you know, somewhat stunted against Wolves and just lacking an element of fluidity. Is that just, you know, not get too carried away with that and time will help?
I don't know. I feel like they may have kind of not progressed as much as some of their rivals. You know, I think they have had a frustrating transfer window. I'm not entirely sure where Mason Mount fits in. I wasn't entirely sure where he fitted in at Chelsea either. So I think, and you've got these kind of wide players who, you know, have flashes of quality. I think, you know, Garnacho certainly looks a star in waiting. But you're looking at players like Sancho and Antony who've arrived for huge money and not really, you know, not really kind of cemented their place in the starting 11. So I think it is a concern for them. I mean, you know, United, they got top four, won the League Cup last season. It was a pretty solid first season for Ten Hag. They scored 58 league goals, 10 fewer than anyone else in the top six. And while so many of their rivals have kind of strengthened, particularly in midfield and attack, I'm not quite sure if they have. So they'll be interesting to see whether they can kind of cut loose as the season goes on.
And just in terms of Spurs, Mills, I mean, you know, where are they at? Because you speak to Spurs fans and I think the answer you get is they just want to start enjoying their football again. And like, that's all well and good, but, you know, for a club who, you know, have generated a lot of money in the transfer window and there will be expectation around them. Like, what can they hope for this season?
I think it is, you know, it's difficult timing for them, isn't it? Obviously, kind of moving to the new stadium and now losing Harry Kane. And the other problem for them is that, you know, clubs like Brighton, Aston Villa, even clubs like Brentford are really, really decent top flight clubs now. And so that, you know, I think we've already had to officially expand the big six to the big seven with Newcastle. But, you know, Brighton and Villa are not far behind either. So suddenly you're looking from, you know, even if Spurs had had a bad season with Kane there, you know, they probably finished, what, sixth or seventh. Now, as Chelsea found out last season, you can end up bottom half, and then that obviously impacts your ability to attract players. You're not in Europe, so it's yeah, it's a big season for them, and they need to make a strong start under Postecoglou.
Okay, so over 2.5 goals, the bet for this one, then.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm expecting United to be dragged into an entertaining game. They may not like it, but yeah, should be a good one.
Excellent stuff. Let's get through the rest of the Premier League docket. Friday night football this week sees Nottingham Forest face Sheffield United. Mills, two sides who I think, you know, their sole hope for this season will be survival. I think Forest have probably got a better chance than Sheffield United. How do you see this game panning out?
Yeah, I think Forest home form was obviously the key to them staying up last season. I think that will be very similar again this term. And you know, both these teams suffered narrow defeats last weekend, but I think Forest could certainly take more positives out of the way they responded at Arsenal. Went 2-0 down early on. They lost 5-0 at the Emirates last season, so they must have been fearing the worst. But actually came back strongly, scored late on and you know, gave Arsenal a late scare. Sheffield United, it's been tough. They've obviously won promotion, then lost a couple of key players, which is not what you want to do when you're on a limited budget as it is. And you know, I think I saw some of their fans saying that their lineup against Crystal Palace last weekend was weaker than the team they'd had in the Championship, which is far from ideal. And yeah, you know, they had one shot on target. Palace had eight. It was 1-0, but I mean, it was a disappointing start at Bramall Lane. And I think Forest are the bet here. They're very, very strong at the City Ground. And yeah, I think it's going to take the Blades a little while to get up to speed with the Premier League.
Tough season ahead for Sheffield United. It does happen sometimes, doesn't it? You gain promotion from the Championship. I mean, they were still so far behind Burnley, even in the Championship last season, and lost a couple of players. Yeah, difficult campaign ahead. Let's move on to Saturday's action, then we'll start with the 3 o'clock kickoffs. Fulham against Brentford. I mean, you mentioned Brentford in one of those teams that, you know, are really challenging in terms of moving up the table, Mills. I mean, you could probably add Fulham to that list as well in terms of a side that have adapted really well to the Premier League, have signed well, and are cracking on. This should be a really good game.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, last season they had two cracking West London derbies, both won 3-2 by the home team. And as you say, you know, Fulham, I think they were among the relegation favourites last term, finished top 10. The issue for them was the second half of the season where certainly performances dropped off. They kind of kept their head above water with results. But I really like the look of Brentford in this game, actually. Fulham look like they're going to be losing Mitrovic finally, his long-awaited move to Saudi Arabia. He did come off the bench, I think probably quite grudgingly, at Everton last weekend. as I mentioned, you know, Fulham were lucky to get a win at Everton, who created plenty of chances against them. And I think Brentford, if Fulham are so generous, then I think Brentford can take advantage. Fulham still with João Paulinho injured. I Brentford finished 5 points ahead of Fulham last season. Obviously, both had fantastic campaigns. Even with Ivan Toney unavailable for the first half of the season, I reckon that gap is gonna be a bit wider this season.
Interesting. Okay, let's take a look at Liverpool, Bournemouth. Now we mentioned Liverpool very briefly at the top of the show. It was the first kind of half hour of that game, you felt like it could run away with Liverpool. They looked excellent, Mo Salah sharp as always. In terms of Bournemouth, I think there's some hope around them this season, a feeling that they could be the dark horses. They opened up with a 1-1 draw against West Ham. This is obviously a much tougher test for Bournemouth, Mills. Do you see Liverpool coming through this one comfortably?
I don't actually. I think this could be one where it's, you know, maybe not worth laying Liverpool, but I like the look of Bournemouth +2 on the handicap.
Okay.
You can get odds against about that. So that if they win the match, draw or lose by one goal, that's a winning bet. And obviously the caveat here is that they lost 9-0 at Anfield last season.
A big caveat.
Yeah, it is. And the additional caveat is that I know Mark last week spoke about Bournemouth's new boss, Andoni Iriola, wanting his teams to be a bit chaotic. So if they lost 9-0 last season at Anfield and now they're a bit more chaotic, this could be anything. But I feel the way Liverpool kind of faded a little bit. The transfer sagas with Caicedo and Lavia must have been a distraction. And they do still look a bit short in terms of squad depth, particularly. So I think Bournemouth can certainly compete here. And let's not forget in March in the return fixture, Bournemouth won 1-0. I think that was the game following Liverpool's 7-0 rout of Manchester United. So Liverpool weren't exactly in the doldrums there. Bournemouth can keep the scoreline more respectable than they did last season. That's not a huge shout, I know.
Mills predicting an 8-0. There we go. I mean, where are we at with Liverpool? Because, you know, reading all of the anti-post stuff going into the season and watching all of your clips, I mean, I think there was hope that Liverpool could maybe not challenge Manchester City, but in terms of the without Manchester City market, you know, it was between sort of Liverpool and Arsenal. I think most people I read were edging towards Liverpool, but there were probably hope that they could, you know, maybe bring in a Lavia or and the Caicedo, and actually neither of those things are going to happen now. So are you still confident, or do you think that's a huge blow for them?
No, I think you're quite right with that assessment. I was keen on Liverpool to kind of chase home Manchester City. It's never wise to get carried away with transfer speculation, is it? But yeah, you could just envisage, you know, I'm sure plenty of Liverpool fans did, you know, that midfield of Caicedo with McAllister and Szoboszlai, and then the forwards, and then the defence who were still pretty decent last season. The midfield was clearly the area of weakness, and so, you know, had Caicedo come in, even Lavia, who, you know, relegated with Southampton but clearly an outstanding young talent, had he come in as well, I think you'd feel that they'd manage that midfield overhaul which they needed. Having said that, they've got some terrific young players, you know, Curtis Jones, Harvey Elliott, Badžetić, who's really impressed in his brief Liverpool career. So I think they need to bulk up the squad. I'm sure they'll be working on that, but I think they can still go well. Yeah.
Okay, pleasing signs for Liverpool fans. Let's take a look at Wolves against Brighton. Really intrigued to get your thoughts on this one, Mills. I mean, you know, I was really down on Wolves going into the season, but I thought they looked sharp against Manchester United. And pleased for Gary O'Neill, actually. You know, probably a slightly rough treatment from Bournemouth in the end to not be given the permanent job after the miracles he worked there. But seems to have already settled in nicely at Wolves. We know all about Brighton. maybe a slightly nervier finish against Luton than they would have hoped, but still, you know, got through that assessment fairly convincingly. Which way do you see this one going?
Yeah, I like you, I think like many people, Wolves were a real surprise package in the opening round of fixtures. You know, 23 shots at Old Trafford. And this was a team who were the lowest scorers in the division last season. And you know, had obviously lost Ruben Neves, very, very significant figure in their midfield, lost their manager kind of a less than a week before the start of the season. So yeah, really, really impressive. And I think Gary O'Neill said after the game, you know, they've worked with the players for about 4 days, and to go there and perform like that at Old Trafford was a terrific effort. So I think I'm going for goals this weekend, which is rarely a wise option in Wolves matches. But yeah, you know, if they can carry on where they left off at Old Trafford, as you said, we know all about Brighton. They're so highly rated by bookmakers these days. The kind of 4-1 win over Luton felt like par for the course, really. But I mean, they're still a terrific side despite their summer exits. 15 of Brighton's 19 away games last season had over 2.5 goals. That included a 3-2 win at Molineux. So yeah, over 2.5 goals for me in this one.
Nothing wrong with goals. Plenty of excitement. Saturday, 8 o'clock, Manchester City against Newcastle. Newcastle with a convincing win on opening weekend. Manchester City dominant as always against Burnley. I mean, you know, they were maybe not question marks, but we were talking about Erling Haaland, weren't we, going into the season. Hadn't scored too many in pre-season, and then pops up after however many minutes it was and scores, and then a stunning strike before half-time, and, you know, he's back with a bang. And this is obviously more of a test for Manchester City, and intrigued to get your thoughts. City have obviously had that European game midweek, so less time to recover than Newcastle. This could be a closely fought encounter.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a tight one, actually, and a tough one for City. You know, it's so interesting, isn't it, the way that Pep Guardiola kind of manages his campaigns. And obviously last season with the World Cup in the middle of the season was a unique challenge. But you know, we saw he doesn't have his players anywhere near cherry ripe, as horse racing trainers would say, at the start of the season, so they can peak at the business end, so they can mop up, well, 3 trophies last season. So I think this is a great time to be playing City, actually, for Newcastle. You mentioned that, you know, City were in Greece for the Super Cup on Wednesday. Pep's already had a moan about the fact that they're now playing Saturday night, and Kevin De Bruyne injured as well. So I think it's going to be a real test for City, and actually Newcastle draw no bet at around 3-1 catches my eye. Obviously, fantastic 5-1 win over Aston Villa on the opening day. I think that scoreline may have flattered Newcastle a little bit. I'm not going to warn the Toon Army not to get carried away, because that, you know, there's no point. Go for it, enjoy it. But yeah, I think another top four finish would be a great effort for Newcastle. But in this game, you know, bearing in mind they only lost 5 league games last season, I think draw no bet 3-1. They make plenty of appeal.
You mentioned there the injury to Kevin De Bruyne, you know, obviously gutting for Manchester City and De Bruyne, but for the neutral as well. I always love watching him. It seems to be a theme now, James, doesn't it, in terms of these injuries, but long-term injuries. I mean, we've seen Buendia pick up a similar case. You mentioned Timber at Arsenal with a big issue as well. I mean, this is a concern, isn't it? I mean, the workload on players, it needs to be talked about now.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, another one to add to the list is Christopher Nkunku at Chelsea, who suffered a bad injury pre-season on a pretty poor pitch, I think, in the USA. And yeah, you know, these players just don't get a break, do they, really? Obviously, we had the World Cup in the middle of last season as well. But, you know, kind of pre-season, even post-season tours, it's very, very difficult. And you know, even with kind of big squads, if you're a player as good as De Bruyne, you're going to be playing in the key matches, aren't you? And whether that's for your club or for your country, It's really, really disappointing, as you say, for neutrals, because he's a fantastic player. And it does make things difficult for City, you know, having also lost Gundogan over the summer as well. So interesting to see who steps up in their midfield.
Absolutely, yeah. Big shame for De Bruyne. Sunday's action then. We'll start with the 2 o'clock kickoff, Aston Villa against Everton. You mentioned, Newcastle fans get carried away, but maybe the scoreline flattered them somewhat. I think there was a lot of hope around Aston Villa under Emery, and rightly so. The tail end of last season was absolutely superb for those guys. You also said, you know, one to note from last weekend was Everton. So what's going to happen here?
I think my instinctive distrust of Everton means I can't actually tip them. I don't think Fulham are going to be as strong as they were last season. So I think this game away at Villa, who were superb at home under Emery last season, is going to be far tougher for Everton. And also Villa are going to have been stung by that scoreline at St James's Park. I wouldn't be leaping in to back Villa at short prices. I think the bet is actually Ollie Watkins to score first. You know, he's a worthy favourite in this market. Scored 14 goals in 27 games since Unai Emery arrived. Looked pretty lively at Newcastle. Villa have won their last five Premier League games against Everton, and Watkins opened the scoring in two of those. So I think he's the man who can trouble Everton the most.
Yeah, really impressive goal scorer. Well, Sunday, 4:30, West Ham against Chelsea. I mean, it must be entertaining, to say the least, if you're a Chelsea fan. I mean, there's never a dull day at Stamford Bridge. Is there a remarkable transfer window and seemingly a limitless pot of cash there? But they did look better on opening day against Liverpool. Didn't see too much of West Ham, so keen to get your thoughts on those and the bet for this one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Chelsea, obviously, the signings they've made over the past couple of years hog the headlines. But, you know, they've also got a very decent manager in now, in Pochettino. And, you know, it's just whether they give him more than 3 months in the job, which would be pushing it given their recent record. I think they have to accept that, you know, this is going to be a project for them. 12th last season. Scored 38 goals in 38 games. He is going to need time. Obviously, you know, kind of about a dozen senior players left over the summer. But as you say, you know, I think there were plenty of positives from that draw with Liverpool. Having said that, I'm still not desperate to back them as kind of around evens at West Ham. You know, it is going to be a fiery atmosphere. It's one of the top London derbies, this one. And West Ham, I thought, did pretty well at Bournemouth, actually, despite their struggles in the transfer window. And they do still pose an attacking threat. You know, Jared Bowen scored, Paqueta hit the post late on, created plenty of chances, given that they have had a pretty small share of possession at Bournemouth. So I think both teams to score is the way to play this one. I think it's going to be a really interesting game. One of those early season fixtures that you can't quite have a strong opinion on because of both teams' transfer transfer activity. So both teams to score tentatively in this one.
I thought that, you know, the eye catching player from that Chelsea game, James, was Chilwell. I mean, he was so high and advanced up the pitch. He was practically kind of, well, even more advanced than a left winger at stages. You I kept kind of looking and going, is that Chilwell? Yeah, it is. I mean, is that like a new role, or was he just a lot more free?
I don't know. I think I think in the modern era, you have to have these kind of multifaceted fullbacks, don't you? And obviously on the other flank, Reece James has a great record of creating assists, and when those two are fit. Which obviously they weren't for a big chunk of last season. I think that really, really gives Chelsea a stable base, you know, both defensively and, as you mentioned, going forward as well. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. And as you mentioned, one to keep an eye on in kind of assist and shot markets.
Absolutely. I know lots of fantasy football players piling into Chilwell at the moment. Monday Night Football, Crystal Palace against Arsenal. A good win on opening weekend for Arsenal and some decent transfer business for your boys. Always a tricky trip game to Selhurst Park. How do you see this one panning out?
Yeah, I think we can expect another fast start from Arsenal, actually. 2-0 up in little over half an hour against Forest last weekend. They tended to start games last season quickly. You don't need to remind me, they didn't always hold on to 2-0 leads last season. But just looking back at the start that Arsenal made last term, they were leading at half-time and full-time in 7 of their first 10 games. That included a 2-0 win at Selhurst Park on the opening night. So I think the Arsenal double result is a decent price here. I think the squad just looks really, really strong now, even with kind of Gabriel Jesus out and now Timber out. There are plenty of options. You know, people like Trossard still on the bench, who's a really classy Premier League forward. And for Palace, you know, they were worthy winners at Sheffield United, but this is a huge step up in class. Obviously lost Wilf Zaha and it looks like Elise may be following it out of the club as well. So I think long term Palace may have a few problems, and I think they could be shown up by Arsenal.
And just in terms of Arsenal kind of team news and the way you're setting up at the moment, I mean, I think there was a few surprises that Gabriel was dropped at centre-back last weekend. I've heard a few rumblings that, you know, Martinelli might be struggling for game time in coming weeks. So, like, what's the thought process for Arteta at the moment? And will there be sort of regular changes to this starting 11?
It's interesting, isn't it? Because last season he was, you know, he was so wedded to a small core of players, and maybe at the end of the season you saw that catching up with Arsenal, and there was a bit of fatigue and some key injuries. This season he has got a far bigger squad to work with. You know, I mean, he obviously feels he can handle that side of the management, because he's just signed another number one goalkeeper. So that's going to be an interesting area to start with, you know, Aaron Ramsdale and now David Raya coming in. So I think there will be more rotation this season, obviously back in the Champions League as well. But I think, you know, you see even players like Fabio Vieira, who had limited opportunities last season. I think when he comes in, he now looks as though he sort of understands the system, understands his role a bit better. So I think Arteta will have to use his squad more than he did last season, when you know Arsenal's focus for pretty much the whole of the season was purely on the Premier League.
Yeah, one to keep an eye on, that's for sure. Well, that's your Premier League card marked for you. We'll be getting on to some multiples and bet builders shortly. We had a winner last week, so stay tuned for that. But before that, we'll be chatting to Dan Childs, all things EFL. If you want some free football bets this season, we've got you covered. Simply head to racingpost.com/freebets, and there you'll find over £200 worth of them for you to use this season. That's racingpost.com/freebets. Always good to chat to Dan Childs. Now, Dan, I'm really excited about this 5 or so minutes we're going to discuss, because obviously we're doing our team in focus. Last week we had QPR, a team hotly fancied to go down in the Championship. Now let's discuss Crawley, because in every single preview, you know, article I read, video I watched, Crawley to be relegated was, you know, the fancy from everyone. So I've stuck in all of my ackers. And I'm thinking, right, we're on to a winner here. And I'm checking the results. I'm seeing wins, I'm seeing draws, really good performances. I've got a couple of mates who are Crawley fans, and they were saying pre-season, you know, we're bringing in trialists who are barely professional footballers. I'm not sure what's going on. And now suddenly it's been a really strong start to the season. So just educate me about around Crawley Town's start to this campaign.
Yeah, I mean, they've brought in a lot of players from quite a few from non-league. But I think Liam Lindsay, the manager, Scott Lindsay, he's pretty good on recruitment, you know, from the lower levels. There is a bit of, you know, money behind the club, just wasn't really, you know, spent very well last season. And, you know, it's not just that, I mean, you mentioned it yourself, not just the results, it's the performances as well. And I think your relegation bet's going to struggle. I mean, I'm even looking at the markets at the upper end of the table. They're 8-1 to finish in the top seven, 20-1 for promotion. I mean, I think that, I don't think the markets have actually caught up with them at all yet. And I think those are really good bets. I mean, last season, the reason a lot of people were anti them, they were third from bottom last season, only 3 points, you know, finishing above the relegation zone. So there were reasons to be pessimistic. But then you look at, you know, you've always got to be ready to adapt your thinking about teams. And I kind of looked at the way straight away when they went home to Bradford in the first game. Their start of the season, they had Bradford at home, Salford away, and MK Dons at home. Three teams tipped for promotion. They took 7 points from them games. And they were actually unlucky not to take nine. They dominated the 1-1 draw away to Salford. So I think that I can see this carrying on. Given the players that's come in, they've had 11 permanent signings, three loans. If anything, you'd expect it to settle and then get even better as the season goes on. They made wholesale changes for the cup game at Exeter. They took the lead there against a strong Exeter team and ended up losing narrowly 2-1. That was with like the reserve side. So lots of good things, you know, to say about Crawley.
Can you remember, you know, in your time tipping for the Racing Post, the team that you, or I'm not, you know, so many have fancied to go down or at least struggle, and then three games in, you know, you're going, okay, like this could be a feasible bet for promotion. Like, can you remember any sides that have flipped that quickly?
Not off the top of my head to go from right at the top of the. I mean, I'm sure there must be instances. Probably it says more about my memory than that happening before. But no, to three games in to be, they must have been one of the favourites for relegation, and now to be fair, their market price hasn't changed a lot. So that's why I'm saying that the markets have not really caught up with them at all. They're still going off at good match result prices. I fancied them. I had a bet on them actually in the week when they played at home to MK Dons, because MK Dons had won their first two games but hadn't looked that great on the stats. Crawley, I've been hearing they've been extremely good, you know, in their early games. So I fancied them in that game and they got a 2-1 win and it was well deserved. The fans, are a little bit of context, there is a change of style as well to very possession based. Some of the Crawley fans are calling it Lindsay Ball and they are fifth on the possession stats, which is another indicator. When you're fifth on the possession stats and you played three of the promotion favourites, that is a real good sign that you're onto something right.
Wow. Well, Crawley Town, one to keep an eye on this season. For you guys listening at home, please do get your teams that you want Dan to focus on going forwards. It could be a team that you are seeing results and thinking, what on earth's going on here? Or just a bit more of a deep dive into them. We'll be doing it every single week. That's QPR done. That's Crawley Town done. Maybe we'll be going for one nearer the top end of the table next week. Dan's got three selections going into this EFL docket. We'll start with your first, Dan.
Yeah, we'll go back to QPR, but I'm going to oppose them this week. I probably had a bit of egg on my face last week talking them down, and then they responded with that great 2-1 win at Cardiff. I still think they're going to have a tough season, QPR, this year. They played home to Norwich in the EFL Cup, the delayed EFL Cup game on Wednesday due to the QPR's ground wasn't ready for it to be played, you know, when the other ties took place. They lost that game 1-0. And the QPR's small squad that I was talking about, they had a real blow with Lyndon Dykes going off with, you know, what looked like a knee injury. So that's going to weaken them for the weekend. Ipswich have had a free week. I had Ipswich down to finish in the top six at the start of the season. They've not surprised me, really. They've gone and won a tough game at Sunderland 2-1 and another tough game at home to Stoke. They were worthy 2-0 winners at home to Stoke, who have done a lot of good business this summer. So Ipswich going great. I think they'll win again at QPR.
Yeah, Ipswich, annoyingly, going very well. I can see that continuing. Who's up next?
I'm going to go into League One, and I fancy Bristol Rovers to continue their strong start away to Cambridge. Bristol Rovers, not similar to Crawley, but they were probably expected to be sort of halfway up, maybe slightly below the top half in League One, but they've started really well against three strong sides. Got a 1-1 draw away to Portsmouth, a 1-1 draw at home to Barnsley, and then went and won 2-1 at Charlton in the week. So they played three fancy teams. They're still unbeaten at the moment, and I think Joe Barton's done a lot of good business in the summer. There's some really good players there. They've kept hold of important players like Aaron Collins as well. I think they're going to improve quite a lot on last season, Bristol Rovers, and may even push towards that top six. Cambridge have had a good start as well. They had two wins and then lost 2-1 at home to Stevenage on Tuesday. Cambridge, my worry about them is they've got quite a small squad. They had, a bit like QPR, they had an injury to a key player in the week in the Stevenage game. Sekou Janna got injured in the 6th minute, so he looks like he'll be out for the weekend. That will hurt them. I think their small squad will hurt them in a busy week as well. And I'd fancy Bristol Rovers around about 6-4 to go and win there.
Okay, great stuff. Nice price. Third and final selection.
Yeah, we're going to go with a draw no bet one here in the same division. Oxford draw no bet around 13-8 away to Barnsley. Barnsley had that great start, didn't they? The 7-0 win at home to Port Vale. Everybody's probably thinking then Barnsley are a team to get with. They've actually, in League and Cup, they've had three games without a win since then. Took the lead at home to Peterborough on Tuesday and then lost the game 3-1. So Barnsley have got a few injuries knocking about as well at the moment. They've got issues with Liam Kitchen, who's a key central defender, already lost Mads Andersen in the summer to Luton. And Liam Kitchen, another key part of the back three from last season, he's been strongly linked with a move away to Coventry. And his performance, apparently, against Peterborough, he made a few errors, you know, that contributed to the defeat. So that's an issue for them. And the other side is Oxford was probably the result of Tuesday night in League One. They went and won 2-1 at Derby. It was a fully deserved victory for Liam Manning's side. They're now two wins in a row. I think they're going to improve a lot on last season. And I think that, you know, you could argue they're the likely winners of this game. And 13-8 draw no bet away to Barnsley. It's probably not any tougher than their trip to Derby on Tuesday, which they won well. So Oxford to win that game looks a big price to me.
Excellent. Dan, as always, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Jack.
Great to chat to Dan, as always. All things EFL, it's already hotting up and we're only in mid-August. Great stuff. Let's get a bet builder then for this week, James. We had a winning treble last week. We'll get onto that shortly, but we'll start with a bet builder. Which game are you targeting for this?
I'm targeting Wolves versus Brighton at Molineux on Saturday. And we've given Wolves lots of love, which I wasn't expecting. I must admit, my first appearance of the season to be digging up Wolves' attacking qualities. But admittedly, they didn't actually score at Old Trafford, but created plenty of chances. So the first leg of this bet builder is going to be over 2.5 goals. Copped in 15 of Brighton's 19 away games last season. They obviously put 4 past Luton in their opening game. And this match was 3-2 to Brighton last season as well. And I think Wolves can add to the goal tally after that impressive showing at United.
OK, so what other legs have we got in this one?
So next one, well, on a similar theme, over 8.5 shots on target. Wolves had 6 shots on target at Old Trafford. Brighton 12 against Luton. Hit the woodwork 3 times as well. So, yeah, I think both goalkeepers could be called into action on Saturday.
Just before we get the next leg, James, do you like backing, you know, bet builders or do you avoid them? I mean, what's your kind of punting approach in a standard Premier League weekend?
I'm a bit of a dinosaur, so I'm slowly coming to terms with bet builders. And I think my main fault is kind of shooting for the stars. I think the way to play it is, you know, rein yourself in a little bit. You know, don't start going for, you know, someone to score a hat trick, someone to be sent off and chucking them all in. So I think they're a fantastic addition to the football punter's armoury, certainly.
Yeah. Absolutely. So much freedom, isn't there? And finish off this bet builder for us.
Yeah, so we're finishing up with Nelson Semedo to be shown a card. Playing at right back for Wolves, obviously up against Mitoma and Estupinan down the Brighton left, which is never easy. Interestingly, Luton's right wing back and the right-sided centre-back both carded last weekend. Semedo had a busy game against United, made 4 tackles. I think he picked up 11 yellows and a red card in the league last season. So I think he could be on thin ice in disciplinary terms in this one.
Okay, excellent stuff. as a bet builder for this week. We'll get into the treble shortly. But we obviously, we haven't mentioned yet, and it's been a remarkable run from the Lionesses, Mills. England into a World Cup final. It was a spectacular performance against Australia. They've sort of edged through certain games, haven't they? They've obviously, you know, injuries, Beth Mead's out, Leah Williamson's out. It's been far from ideal prep for those girls, but a brilliant run to the final. They'll face Spain, who many fancied for the Euros that England went on to win. In terms of the betting, not too much to split them. Will you be having an angle into this one?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really, really tight game, as the betting suggests. I think even just after England won that semi-final, there was obviously a bit of a buzz about punters, and then very soon, kind of the Spain price came in a little bit, and they had to be respected. They've had a really troubled couple of years, Spain, haven't they, with kind of a dozen senior players falling out with the coach, but you know they've got some terrific young talent. And as you say, England have had a few games when they've kind of had to grind their way through and ride their luck. But you know, I thought the way they finished the game off against Australia was superb, and that third goal for Russo was just a magnificent counter-attacking move. I think it's going to be tight. I think it could be as tense as the Euros final, and that one all correct score in 90 minutes is leaping off the page at me. I think it's going to be a really interesting game.
Yeah, well, best of luck to the Lionesses. It's certainly a historical couple of years for those girls. I mean, you know, that Russo goal, Lauren Hemp was stunning, wasn't she? There's some real talent in there. So best of luck on Sunday. We're all rooting for you, and maybe get it done in extra time so that 1-1 clicks. We had a winning treble last week. Let's try and follow that in with another. What are we going for this time around?
Yeah, so my first selection is in the Championship, the early game on Saturday. Both teams to score in Plymouth against Southampton. Now, Jack, you'll be well aware of how entertaining Southampton's games can be after that 4-4 draw with Norwich. I mean, they also drew their last Premier League game 4-4 against Liverpool, so that's one for correct score punters to keep an eye on. Plymouth had a 0-0 at Watford last time out, but I mean, it was a very entertaining one. Bundles of chances at both ends. And they were just so good at Home Park last season in League One, won 20 of 23. So, you know, even though Southampton are among the promotion favourites, I think Plymouth will definitely fancy their chances of getting on the score sheet.
I think it was 32 shots for Russell Martin's Southampton in that 4-4 draw. I mean, it was just... Yeah, absolutely frantic stuff. That's the way that Russ likes to play. Okay, so we've got the early kickoff in the Championship. What's the second leg for this?
Yeah, as I've mentioned earlier, over 2.5 goals at Tottenham, Manchester United. I think Spurs games, you're going to have to be backing goals, certainly in the early stages. Christian Romero went off with a head injury, so there may be another defensive reshuffle there. They don't look the strongest at the back, even when they're at full strength, but plenty going forward. And I think this should be another exciting one. It was 2-2 last season. And I think there should be more goals.
And the third and final selection for this.
I'm opposing Manchester City in this. So
brave.
Hoping fortune favours the bold here.
Yeah.
So Newcastle or draw, double chance at City. I just think, as we mentioned, you know, City are not... don't tend to come flying out of the traps. Obviously, they had a good win at Burnley, but this is a far tougher game. De Bruyne injured, and obviously a trip to Greece for the Super Cup on Wednesday. So I think Newcastle have got a great chance of taking at least a point at the Etihad.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, hopefully fortune does indeed favour the brave. Mills, if you were to have one bet this week, what would it be? What's the nap?
I am going for Brentford to win at Fulham. I think, as I said, you know, 5 points between these teams last season. I think that gap is going to get wider. Brentford, you know, rode their luck a little bit in the draw with Spurs, but plenty of attacking quality. And Fulham got away with one at Everton. I think they could be found out by their West London rivals.
Excellent. Thanks very much for joining me this week. It's been an absolute pleasure. A big thanks to Dan Charles as well for his insight on the EFL. A reminder, if you're listening to this on your podcast player of choice and you want to see our faces, we are now producing this as a video production as well. You can find that on the Racing Post YouTube channel alongside a whole suite of other video productions from the Racing Post. Racing covered all everything you need. Remember that you please only ever gamble with money that you can afford to lose. Plenty of selections on this week's show. Just gamble responsibly, and please do so. We'll be back next week for another episode of Mark Langdon's Bets Club. Until then, stay safe, and we'll see you all again very soon. Bye bye.